Hey, tonight's a special night, a really special night here in Rockford area. We have one of our own, Fred VanVleet, could join the Toronto Raptors in wrapping up a series and winning the NBA championship, the first, historically, the first in Canada, like the first NBA championship outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. for the Toronto Raptors. They're up 3-1, or excuse me, yeah, 3-1 on the Golden State Warriors, and they could put this thing away tonight. And yep. I say do it. Get it done with. Let's celebrate. It's time to celebrate. We talked earlier about a big celebration going on in downtown Rockford that they're trying to basically set up a Jurassic Park Rockford to celebrate. It's all about Fred down here, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
It's all about Fred and the fame that he's kind of – we're feeding off of what his success as a city and also the fame he's bringing to the city. When people talk about Fred VanVleet of Rockford, Illinois, I mean, it's been a long, 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 mm-hmm. long time since anybody had any kind of success in the NBA from Rockford, from this area. So it's a great thing. And joining us on the phone right now is the man who helped mold and start this whole thing. He is Fred's stepfather. He is Joe Danforth. Joe, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good. How you doing?
We're doing really good. First of all, you got to be the proudest papa in the world. I mean, what has it been like for you for the last couple of weeks? I mean, it's not like he's a rookie here. He had such a great season last year, a finalist for sixth man and all that. So, but we're talking NBA Finals now. It's a bigger deal. He's on a bigger stage, and he is really performing on that big stage. So for you, what's this been like?
Man, it's been like it's been Fred Mania. So, it's been like a whirlwind. You know, we've been back and forth to Toronto and back and forth to Milwaukee. And, I remember, last year, going to the playoffs in Cleveland and going through that whole thing when he had hurt his shoulder and, mm-hmm. he should have made a bigger impact in that series. And now he's healthy and he's playing really good. And, it's been fun.
Hey Joe, how's Fred's face doing? Any limitations going into the game tonight, or is he just gonna tough it out?
No, he's fine. No concussion. It sounds like no nothing broken in his face or nothing except for his teeth. But he got his teeth fixed, so he got that done as soon as he got to Canada. So he was up waiting on to go to a dentist and get his teeth fixed. So he got the chipped tooth fixed and. The bottom, see, the front one got chipped, and then the bottom one also got chipped. So he got all that fixed and got 7 stitches, so he's good to go.
What were your thoughts when you saw that? When I saw it get popped in the face, and then that dramatic photo of him laying there, and all of a sudden the blood starts rolling down the side of his face. But I swore while he's laying there, I swore I saw him reach into his mouth and pull some out. I said to my wife, I think he lost a tooth. Nobody on TV was saying anything about it until a little later on. They showed the piece of tooth laying there in the free throw lane.
Yeah, so when I saw it, I didn't think it was his tooth. I looked for a minute. I was like, nah, that can't be his tooth. that's not his tooth. Then next thing we get the picture after the game with half his tooth missing and, him smiling and everything. So it was like, I guess it was his tooth.
He had the great hockey player smile. I think he mentioned it in the post-game interview, but he said something about being in Canada, but he didn't want to be a hockey player because all those guys have missing teeth.
Man, those Canadians went crazy on that too. So they love that boy. So he might be the next hero up there. Oh. With that missing too. So now they love that.
Now, how many games do you get to? Have you gotten to in this finals?
Man, I went to the Milwaukee series. I didn't get to Philly, but the Milwaukee series. The wife and the kids and everything went up for the Orlando series. And, I was going to go to this one. I got caught up in Indiana. I had my own, my travel team. We played in the Under Armour circuit. Oh. So I was in Indiana with them. And, then we get back. And then Fred flew my wife and the kids and everybody out. So me and my grandson are stuck home. We were going to go, but. And I was like, man, I'm really getting tired of traveling. And then Sue's dad went, my other son, JD, went. Sure. Fred only gets like 3 tickets. So, I was like, it was cool that her dad could go and then my other son could go. So I was like, I haven't been to tons of games. We could stay home tonight, order some food, and just watch it.
So you're going to watch it at home? Are you not going down to the celebration or anything like that? You're just going to stay at home and enjoy it?
No, I'm going to stay at home. I got some guys from work coming over, so I'm just going to stay home and watch it.
That's good. So I would, in a way, if I were you, and this is kind of a dumb comment, but I'd almost cheer for him to lose so you can get to that game 7. Because you want to fly out to Golden State.
You know, so if they lose, then, I probably want to go out to out there to Oakland or whatever, watching play Golden State there.
Joe, you're obviously a basketball strategist, and you know a lot about the game. In your opinion, how does this series change tonight if Kevin Durant's going to be on the floor for Golden State? I mean, we're going to wait and see if that happens or not, but it sounds like he's got to get out there at some point in this series. And how does that just change the mindset and change what Fred and the Raptors need to do?
I think it's going to change the matchup, but I still think they're going to get him anyway. I think Toronto is a little bit deeper. You know, I think they've got a deeper bench than Golden State. You know what I mean? And I actually think they're a little bit tougher defensively than Golden State too. So I think whether he plays or not, I think they're gonna probably wind up in this tonight.
Joe, I want to tell you this. It's gonna be a full disclosure for you. I born, raised, grew up in Wisconsin. My first love was the Milwaukee Bucks and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, Lew Alcindor back then.
Yeah.
So I had to admit I had a rough time with that series because I told everybody, so you're cheering for Fred. So I'm cheering for Fred. I want him to have a great series, but I want him to lose because of my Bucks loyalty. changed now that it's over with. But the interesting about that series was, of course, the famous situation where Fred was struggling, then comes home, has the baby boy, and then the light just switched, just changed, and he was just a whole different player. And in my book, they do not beat Milwaukee without what Fred did down there, as much as Kawhi and everybody else. But if Fred doesn't do what he did, Milwaukee's playing Golden State right now, in my book. What was it, simply just the inspiration of the baby? Was it something else? I mean, why did that? It's a great story that it just the light switch changed and boom, we took off.
Yeah, it's a great story. We got the new baby and everything and all that. But I will say this, and, I think you got to look at it like this. During the Philly series, his time was cut.
Right.
During the Orlando series, his time was, not only his time, but the bench time had been cut. I think they got to a point in the Milwaukee series, like, man, we got to get back using our bench. I think it just comes down to he got his time back. Of course, having that whole load off his shoulders by having the baby and everything, but I think 90% of it was he actually got his minutes back. When he got his minutes back, he got out there and had a chance to perform,
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the other two games in the series, I think he was only playing like maybe like 8 to 10 minutes, maybe,
mm-hmm.
And got a couple of touches, and next thing you know, he was out, So I'm thinking that, I'm pretty sure Coach, looked at it like, we did this last year. We played the bench mob last year, and we wound up losing, to Cleveland and everything, but you got to look at it last year. It's a whole different series because you got to go through that monster LeBron James last year. So but this year, I think it's a whole lot different with him not being in the East, it being a lot more leveled out. But I think when we got to these series games, I think just him getting his time back, getting the rhythm and getting the groove and everything, it's like, okay, well, man, we got to play him now, So I think that's what it came down to. Him just getting his minutes back.
Well, do you think, too, I mean, was he not getting his minutes earlier because of matchups or something? Because here's the other thing, too. I remember that game that he kind of took off. I think that was the game where Lowry got into foul trouble early and Green was not hitting. So they had to go to a bench and get somebody else. And he got out there and made the most of his minutes, which, of course, it grew. So, I mean, I guess my question is, would he have gotten those minutes had Lowry not gotten into foul trouble, Green not played poorly, which I think, in the end, was a bad decision on Nurse's point of not giving him the minutes?
Yeah, I think it might have been, been a different outlook, I think the forces of nature, the basketball guys were like, hey, you're going to need to play this dude, So I think that, with Kyle, falling out that game and Fred getting extended minutes and getting a chance to get his, get his groove a little bit. And then, actually even with Norman Powell, with Danny Green, not playing good at first, and now Norm's coming in, and him and Fred are our buddies, and getting a chance to get a role and get a fill in, and then you got Serge Ibaka that got his minutes back, and he's playing really good. So I think all that kind of played a force in where they at right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to take you back to when the draft and when Fred was not drafted, and I realized there were some calls and he chose to go as a free agent. Did you have an influence on him going to Toronto? Because at the time, Toronto had so much guard talent, I thought, why would he pick them? They didn't look like an up-and-coming team, and they had a team that was deep in guards. And then you look now, whatever it is, 3 years later, and boom, he's going to win an NBA title. So, I mean, it was obviously the right decision. Were you in any influence on that decision, or did he pick it, and did you ever ask him why?
Well, you know, no, actually, I think it was a combination of me and his agent at the time, Christian Dawkins. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I got everything done for the party that night. I paid for the district and, you know, all that. And we, you know, we're having a good time. And, you know, and it came down to, if I remember correctly, you know, it was a couple teams that wanted them. Atlanta wanted to bring them in, but they wanted to bring them in only as like a G League, a D League player. That's what they wanted to do. Then you had San Antonio that really wanted them, and then you had Toronto that wanted them. So it was kind of, you know, between those three teams, Atlanta was like, okay, we'll draft him in the second round, you know, we'll call his name out and everything, but he's going to be only in the D League. You know, he won't get a chance. He probably won't get a call up. He's going to sit in the D League for like a year or two. And he was like, you know, wow, I don't want to do that, you know. And then San Antonio was like, hey, listen, you know, we really want to bring you in and do this and do that. And then Toronto was calling. So it's like right after we got the phone from San Antonio, Toronto called, and San Antonio wanted to draft somebody. So that offer kind of went away. I guess Toronto, you know, was like, hey, we've been watching you since your sophomore, junior year in college. And, you know, we think that you would really fit in. And we're going to give you a chance to make the team. We're going to give you a chance to come and fight your way in, you know. We're going to bring you to Summer League, you're going to play. You make it through Summer League good, then we're going to bring you in a training camp. You make it through training camp, you're going to be a two-way player. We're going to put you on the bench, and then you'll play in the D-League, you know. So Toronto actually gave him the better option. They gave him the better option, and I have to give my hats off to Toronto. You know, that's not just going to be playing there, but, you know, they're the ones that really gave him a shot, and, you know, they didn't have a problem with having a three-point guard. You know, so That's how that whole thing really worked out. So, actually, me and Christian were talking to him. I was like, man, I said, listen, don't worry about your name not getting called. I said, you need to look at the best offer and the best place that's for you. You know, and Christian was telling them the exact same thing. And, you know, Fred was like, okay, then, let's do it. We were actually outside the district on the phone going back and forth with everybody at the time, too. And I was like, man, you know, forget your name not being called. I said, in about 2 years from now, man, you know, everybody's going to know who you are anyway. I said, you know, go there and do that thing, man, and fight through this, and you'll be fine. And that's the exact same thing his agent was telling him, and it all worked out.
It certainly worked out. I mean, it's just an amazing run and how fast he's developed. And I think, you know, as much as everybody wanted him to be successful, I think he exceeded a lot of expectations in terms of how much he can contribute. Like I said, right now, if I had to – we're biased here, I know that. But, I mean, Kawhi's putting up numbers that have rarely been seen in the playoffs. He's going to get, if the Raptors win it all, going to get MVP. But, my gosh, Fred's number two on that list. And I say right now, Fred's the third best player on the court behind Kawhi and Steph Curry right now in this series. So, I mean, that says a ton. I mean, it's just very impressive watching this. And it's so cool to see a kid that we all know and watched here. It's almost still kind of surreal to watch it and think, you know, he's banging heads with playing great defense on Curry, the best defense on Curry one-on-one in the league. And all this stuff, you go, that's the guy that was over at Auburn High School just a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it's just amazing to watch this, growth. And one other question I was going to ask you, too, is now that you've got some insider scoop, are you going to give us an insider, is there any indication, is Kawhi going to stay in Toronto? Do you have any leads on that? Does Fred have any leads on that?
You know what? I'll tell you this. Before I left Toronto, the last story I heard was, okay, first it was a story that he had bought like $100 million whatever mansion or whatever in L.A. So we heard that story. But then before I left Toronto, about a week or two ago, when I left Toronto, you know, we were hearing that he had bought property in Toronto now.
Oh.
So I got a feeling he might stay now. I think he's going to stay. It may not be – I think but what he's probably going to do, it may not be a long-term type thing, but, you know, I think he might stay. I think he might wind up staying and doing like a two-year deal.
You don't want to break this thing up. If they win the whole thing, why break it up? I mean, if he's looking for a title, he's right there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Well, that's Joe, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. And congratulations on all of Fred's success and your hand in making him the kind of player he is today. We look forward to it. Oh, one quick question. Do you know if when he's going to have his camp now in town?
I think it's going to wind up going down in August.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to wind up going down in August. He's going to, of course, finish up this series hopefully tonight. And then, I know he's going to want to take probably some time off for a minute. I think he only saw his baby for those couple of days after he was born. So I'm pretty sure he's going to come back and be with them for a while and see his kids and everything. So, I believe it's going to be in August. So you probably start seeing advertisements for it later on this month and next month.
All right. Sounds good. He's Joe Danforth, stepfather of Fred Van Vliet. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it and give us some insight stuff. And we can't be more happy, more proud of Fred in this community, as you probably know, just walking the streets and seeing the excitement and the downtown, the Jurassic Park Rockford going on tonight. I'm sure that place is going to be packed as well. So thanks again for being with us. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care, Joe.
All right. Now, take it easy.